boys ain't as different as y'all might think. Just take a little bit to push one of them out of the light. Here come Derek Knight and Colin Burton from the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Well, kids, no Rock and Roll Hall of Famers this week, but certainly someone whom I would lobby on behalf of for the Radio Hall of Fame from idiotshow.net. Joining us on today's show, it's the Face of Dung. Away, baby!
Hello, I.
Hi! Joining us, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Hey, everybody.
And everybody's favorite Jew Wario, Justin Carmichael, from wherever you're from.
Hello, my peeps. How's it going?
One of the things, before we get going, Dung Boy, I wanted to let you know, we just got off the phone with Carl Gardner, the original lead singer of the Coasters.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, we just got...
I was just going to say, I played your request last week.
Oh, did you?
A couple of weeks. Not much has changed.
Thanks very much for joining us once again on our wee little program.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me again.
Yeah, and, you know, I almost hate to do this, but I feel I must. I have to go back to a little snippet from our first interview when you were so gracious as to join us in December 2006. This is something that you said way back then.
And, yeah, I've tossed the idea around. Maybe I still will do it. I'm not saying I won't, you know,
right.
But it'll be because I want to do it, and that's
exactly.
I'm never going to work for the suits again. Never.
Yeah. On your terms, or not at all.
That's kind of where podcasting comes in as a possible substitute, because you control the whole
thing. Yeah, I know, but you know the thing is, I haven't been motivated enough to do it.
Right.
But maybe I will.
Yeah.
You know, I finally got one of the big things holding me back was the fact I didn't really own a decent microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I had this like plain talk microphone that Apple gives you, which sounds like you're basically talking through a tin can.
Yeah.
But I got a little mixer now. I got it hooked up to my G5, and I actually have a pretty decent microphone. So I have the equipment to do it now. And now that I have the equipment, I don't want to do it. So I don't know. I might do it. You know, I mean,
give it some
someday.
Time.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I've been there. I've done that. I really don't.
And then something got you and made you do this.
Are you ready? Are you ready, baby? This is Dung. I'm back for fun on idiotshow.net with the Idiot Show at tonight. Yeah, baby.
So, yeah, so it went from that to that, and now every week, roughly, I get to download another M. Dung podcast. How cool is that?
Yep, that's what happened. You're right, and it's all because of you.
All because of me?
Pretty much, yeah, you know. I mean, that interview we did back in December was the beginning of this reemergence, and what led directly to it was I was contacted by the manager of a band called Red Meat,
yeah,
which is kind of a country boogie outfit here in San Francisco, who was a huge fan of Dung back when I was on the radio, and asked me if I would host their CD release party here in San Francisco.
Yeah, and before we go any further with that, just as a means of updating our one listener, I want to let everybody know that not long after I posted that first interview with you, that guy, the manager, Owen Bly, emailed me and was all giddy that I did an interview with you. And I emailed him back saying, well, you know, it was Dung was gracious enough to join us. And then, yeah, then he calls you up and wants you to do this Red Meat thing, which is excellent.
Yeah, and it turned out to be a really lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at show, but I felt as if I should help promote it since they were going to pay me all this dough to be there.
Yeah.
So I resurrected the Idiot Show as a vehicle to have them in for an interview and promote the show. And it was, like I said in the original interview, it was the reason that I needed to start doing this again.
Yeah.
So it's just into it. I've been doing it now for about 3 months or so, and I'm having fun, you know.
Good.
It's a lot of fun.
Now, I read also in an article, I think from the either the Mercury News or the Modesto Bee, that you were going to do the Red Meat Show and then also a show with Les Claypool. Is there any more information on that?
I have contacted his manager, and I got to see Les perform at the Warfield in San Francisco, I think in August. At that point, they're interested in doing something with me, but he just, it's kind of an involved story, but basically what it is like Les is leaving Go Graham Presents, and his manager is now, everything's up in the air with this guy.
Yeah.
So they don't have any firm dates yet, but I'm waiting to hear from them. That's basically what it's about.
And that would be really cool. I mean, personally, I'm a huge Les Claypool fan. And I saw,
yeah, your show is great.
Yeah, I saw Primus open for Public Enemy at Anthrax back in 1991. And I just, I don't know, everything he does, it's just so odd, but yet it turns to gold. I don't know exactly how to put it, why I think Les Claypool's a genius, but I really do. So that would be awesome if you...
Have you seen his recent show? Have you seen him recently?
I haven't had a chance to, no.
Well, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the show. Yeah, he's a very unique artist, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But the thing is back when I was doing my show at KFOG, apparently he used to listen to me. He was a teenager, and he used to call up and request songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've known Clay for quite a while, and before he became a big rock star. So we kind of have a little history there. We go back a ways. So it was really nice of him to still think about me, you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and the Warfield thing, I mean, at the Great American Music Hall with Red Meat, I met so many people. I mean, I haven't been on the air during the Idiot Show in over 15 years, okay?
Yeah.
And there's all these people that just said they really miss me, and it's just like, I find it amazing that they still even remember me, you know? So it was really made me feel pretty good. And I also ran into some really old friends that I haven't seen in a while, and I don't know, it just seems like the thing to do. So we'll see what happens.
So outside of that Red Meat show, what sort of response have you got, say, like through email or other media about your Idiot shows?
I just started to get some email. Actually, the response has been very limited. My show, you know, it's not like I'm actively going out there promoting this thing. This is just fun.
Yeah.
And actually, that's part of the problem for me is that the format of the show, the Idiot show, had to be altered into this to accommodate this type of format.
Yeah.
I don't have a fun line. I can't talk to people live on the air like I used to.
Yeah.
Actually, there is no way for people to interact with me other than email, which I redid my whole website, and I'm going to come up with I figured maybe I'll try doing like a blog or a comment area where people can visit my website and put requests on there, and I can get them that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no big howling crowd of people waiting for my next show. Let's put it that way.
How do you know, though? There could be a mass of people out there waiting for it.
No, there aren't. I look at the logs on my website. I can tell exactly who downloads what. And I'm on a good week, I'll get like 30 people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like five or six.
Sometimes it's just me five times, maybe.
Well, maybe. You know, but the thing is, all of that's irrelevant because I'm not doing this for any big audience. I'm basically doing this for myself.
And then,
it's something that I enjoy to do. Yeah. It's something I've missed because I've been out of radio for so long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was a DJ for 20 years, so it's not like I can just put it in a box and place it on a shelf and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of me. So
yeah, that part of your...
It gives me a chance to express that part of myself that I haven't been able to in such a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that part of the brain where the radio monkey lives, it gets bigger and bigger every year you work in radio. And it is kind of weird being out. I mean, I'm like you. I mean, I'm not like you in the sense that I never worked in a major market, but I've got that same, I don't ever want to go back, but at the same time, I need to have this microphone in front of me every now and then, and it just feels good. But yeah, doing what you're doing, it's fun listening to. Let me put it that way. From my perspective, downloading, it sounds like you're having fun. And the music you're playing it's diverse, but the clock works together well, you know, it flows. You can tell you're passionate about what you're doing. Your energy hasn't taken a hit at all. I mean, I'm totally digging the show. And
great.
It's just my perspective. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I have no other way. I don't know what anyone... No one really tells me what the reaction is. So
yeah,
it's nice to hear. Thanks.
Sure.
I'm glad you like it, you know. It's kind of weird, you know. Sometimes I sit there and think, why am I doing this? Because for me, it seems kind of silly, you know. But then I remember there are people who... I remember the people I met at the show, and they were so excited and so passionate about meeting me. There was a whole part of my life I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. So I guess I'm kind of doing it for people who I know like my show. But I still enjoy putting music together, and that's where it all comes from, you know. I love the music, and I think it's all in the presentation, you know. I mean, you can play the same exact tunes and make it the most boring experience ever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to figure out a way to spice it up and to make it interesting for the listener.
That's true.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm not at a radio station, so I don't have anything really to talk about. I don't have commercial breaks. I don't have call letters to I have nothing. So, I mean, I really basically don't really have a lot to say except to introduce the song, you know. And, you know, it's still relatively new, so it's going to evolve. I think it's fun for now.
It might be interesting to take calls from viewers.
Listeners.
From listeners. Sorry, listeners.
Downloaders.
From downloaders. In form of like a wave format, and have them record their question or a request or something, and or a comment about the show, and then email it to you, and then maybe you could play it and put that on your thing, and you could talk about that.
Yeah, you know, something that would be great. You know, I mean, I don't really feel there's enough attention yet to warrant anything like really complex like that. But you know, another idea I had would be to like set up a second phone line and just put an answering machine on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people can call there and request their songs or say whatever it is they need to say.
And
then I can just go through the tape and edit out, get the good ones, you know, and play them.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, once you set up a blog and get comments going, have you worked with Skype at all?
Not really.
You might want to check into that. It'll allow you to make unlimited long-distance calls for free.
Which is actually the way we're talking to you right now.
Right. And then... Then maybe you could either have fans submit their phone numbers to you and you could call them for surprise calls, record that,
you can do, you can if you have a Skype account and you have other people that know you have a Skype account, you can interact while the show is live because it's actually coming through your computer.
Right.
I mean, just spitballing here.
Yeah.
No, I mean, those are really good ideas, you know. I mean, I never really thought of it that way, but I'll definitely check it out. Thanks for the tip.
And one other feature it has, if you're interested, is it can record calls. It can be an answering machine for you, and that way it's already on your computer and you don't have to dub over from another answering machine.
Wow. I mean, that sounds exactly what I need, so I definitely will check it out.
Cool.
Skype
hold on
is...
for a second.
Okay.
Hey, put the spaghetti in, okay?
Sorry, I had to tell my daughter to put the spaghetti in because I'm busy talking to you guys.
Hey,
I'm
no
sorry.
Problem. No problem. And speaking of your daughter, how does having a teenage daughter help you stay connected, or does it just make you feel tragically unhip at times?
Well, it's a little bit of both, I'll tell you. But she hips me all these new music, you know, that the kids are listening to.
Yeah.
Which is helpful for me because I can't really bear to listen to radio, especially those type of stations that are talking to teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I really don't have much interest in new music anymore. It's not really what I'm into. But she's totally into it. Music is her life. And so it's like I get a whole big array of music to check out. And some of it I dig, you know.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the song that she chose from the Stubbs the Zombie soundtrack that you played on an earlier show. So much so that I stole that whole soundtrack from Colin, who's just a huge zombie fan.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, on this week's show, yesterday we went to go see Across the Universe, the new movie that just came out. It's a musical using all Beatles songs.
Uh-oh.
It was great.
Really?
And she plays a track off the soundtrack for that. And you got to check this movie out. Yeah, I didn't really know what to think, but I left there going, I was just blown away. It was great.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it. So she's going to be on this week's show with a song from the soundtrack for that film.
Cool. How cool is it to have her be on your podcast with you?
It's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
It gives her the experience to do something like this, and it gives me actually something to do other than do what I always do, which is talk about the next song coming up.
Yeah.
So. It's good for me and it's good for her. It works out.
Yeah, that's great. And I thought you did a fine job, and I'm sure that this week's show is going to be no exception. But
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go on.
You go ahead.
No, Tig has been on the radio since she was born, just about. I used to change her diapers on the radio when I was a morning guy. We'd have the diaper alert. This big alarm would go off and everyone would clear out of the studio.
Excellent.
And she's been on me at various times as a kid introducing songs, so she's not a stranger to being in front of a microphone.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get a little inside the actor's studio-esque now with a pseudo-pivot questionnaire, if you don't mind. It's short.
Sure.
What of all the words that you seem to use semi-randomly is your favorite word?
my favorite word?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I don't know what to say.
It's not I?
Probably fun. Funtime probably would be a good one, a good candidate.
Yeah.
I like to have fun.
Yeah. Okay. Conversely, what is your least favorite word?
Probably responsibility.
Oh, yeah. That one sucks so bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hate that one.
It reminds me of work.
What of all those songs out there in this whole wide world do you figure might be your favorite?
Oh, boy. That's a good question.
Yeah.
There's so much. You know, I was thinking about that myself, and the first rock and roll record I can ever remember hearing, I was in my dad's arms, and he was fiddling around with the radio. And he put it on a station, and Well All Right by Buddy Holly came out.
All right.
So the first rock artist that I can ever remember hearing was Buddy Holly. And I've been a fan ever since, so I would have to say Buddy Holly.
Awesome. I can't complain about that selection at all. My favorite question that they ask on that silly show, what is your favorite curse word?
Oh, God.
There's so many of those, too.
Oh, well, I forgot, we're not on the radio.
No, we're not on the radio, and we've got an explicit tag.
It's got to be fuck, because I say it constantly. It's gotten me into so much trouble sometimes.
Yeah.
The infamous 735 break on KFOG, I screwed up the intro to Breakfast with Elvis. And I don't know, it wasn't Breakfast with Elvis. It was the song leading into it. I somehow screwed up the introduction, and I was so pissed off, but I forgot the microphone was still on.
Oh,
no. I yelled out at the top of my lungs, oh, fuck. And then I realized I had my mic open. I was so freaked out. Yeah, we got a few calls on that one.
Oh, man. I've done the same thing, but it was after midnight, and I'm in Colorado Springs, so nobody knew. Absolutely nobody knew. So we didn't get any calls. I could have done it every night if I wanted.
It happens, you know.
It does.
But I'm proud to say that I've never resorted to foul language or humor at others' expenses, stuff like that, that other disc jockeys do.
That's my favorite kind of humor.
Oh, and I'm so thankful that don't do that.
Justin hates that so much.
God,
he hates
really
humor
do.
At other people's expense.
I don't really think it's entertainment, and I think people have just been brainwashed into thinking it is. You know,
yeah.
It's just offensive.
Justin's
but that's
giving
my opinion. For what
well,
it's worth.
And ironically, now Justin's sticking his tongue out at me because he feels he's right.
Man, I mean, there's a ton of people who do enjoy it. You know, and for them, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, but
you
it's
say
not
sadistic.
For everybody. I guess it just boils down to each his own.
Yeah. Okay, and the last question in this little questionnaire, if rock and roll heaven exists, what would you like to hear Rockin' God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Hello, baby! Time to rock!
Time to rock!
Boy, that would be a good crowd up there. Well, I don't know. I don't know how many good rock and rollers would actually make it to heaven.
Oh, Buddy Holly'd be there, man.
Buddy Holly. Well, hopefully Jim Croce would make it.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll all find out someday, right, guys?
Someday.
Maybe.
And here's a question. I think I know the answer to it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you given any thought at all, even in the back of your mind, any like just a little brief flash about syndicating The Idiot Show?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what I expected.
At one time when I was on the radio, the mechanism to do that really didn't exist yet. So,
yeah.
I mean, Dr. Demento was Westwood One, and we'd receive his program either on tape or on records.
Yep.
But today, of course, it's all different with satellites. You can beam your show anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But that technology didn't exist back when I was doing that thing.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, guys, I left broadcasting. You know,
right?
And I have another job, job that's not going to disappear. There's no ratings, you know. There's no weird program directors who fire everybody.
That's true.
As long as I do my job, I'm cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with that. You know, I don't really have the time or the inclination to devote to that type of thing. And besides, who would want me to be syndicated? I just don't see it happening.
Who?
It's a nice thought. I mean, really, this is just like a hobby for me. It's not like I'm a professional. So I think if that were to happen, it would be several years down the line.
Yeah.
you know, it was, I'd have to get some kind of momentum going here on this level first.
Sure.
And we're still working on that. So let me get back to you on that one. Who knows?
Okay.
I guess what I've learned from your show is I should never say never, because you never know what's going to happen.
You never know what a tiny little podcast with one listener can become, can force.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, when I started the Idiot Show, it was on in the middle of the night in Allendale, Michigan, and everybody said nobody listens. Well, it turns out a ton of people listened at night. People
yep.
studying. I used to have a lot of calls from dairy farmers in the area who would be milking their damn cows. And they'd call me with a request. So you never, like you said, you never know who's going to be listening, and
yep.
that's so true. And it doesn't matter if you're on in the middle of the night or in drive time or whatever. You know, if you're good and you're pulling out something there that's worth listening to, people will listen.
Yep. The and getting away from podcasts and broadcasting and all that, just a geeky tech question to make everybody in the room jealous. How do you like your iPhone?
Oh, my iPhone rocks, man. This thing is so cool. I've never had a cell phone in my life.
Really?
And, yeah, I just, actually, when all the hype was out, it's coming out and everything. And I'm a big Apple fan anyway, so
sure.
I thought, wow, this thing looks pretty cool. And plus, I gave my old iPod to my ex-wife, so I didn't even have something to listen to. So I thought, well, I'll get a phone, and, you know, during the week I'm real busy, so I'm never really at home all that much, so I miss a lot of calls. But it's nice to have a phone with you, and it's an iPod, too, so I can listen to my tunes, and it does all this other cool stuff. I mean, I'm totally into it. It's cool.
Yeah, my brother loves his. So.
Yeah, I don't
yeah,
have
man.
One, and
rock.
I think everybody I
check it out.
Almost everybody I know has one, except for me.
I don't have one.
Well, I don't really know you, Colin. No,
yeah.
But your brother has one, and I know
yeah.
him. And our CEO at work has one, and he was showing it off in kind of a I have one, you don't manner.
Did you have a question? I'm gonna pull away for a second.
Oh no, we were just waxing about the iPhone and how I don't have one and.
Oh, okay. Well, you should definitely check it out, man. It's really cool.
Yeah.
See, I found it interesting.
You'll dig it.
Actually,
yeah, it is very, very interesting.
Yeah, Trevor was showing me how the new iPods are going to be based around the iPhone. But the funny thing is
yeah.
it costs the same amount as the iPhone. So why on earth would you want to get the new iPod rather than an iPhone? It's just
weird marketing. Well, it's like locked into some kind of other contract or you have a phone.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, just for those guys.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. You know, they're almost exactly the same, except one doesn't make phone calls.
Right.
So
and the price
is spend that much dough, you might as well get the phone. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I figure I've already got Singular or AT&T, I guess it went back to being anyway. If I'll take, I mean, how much a month do you pay for the iPhone?
My phone bill is like $50 a month.
For one phone?
Which is what I was paying anyway with the other one.
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
Do you have the unlimited web access as well, or?
Yeah, it's got unlimited data and messaging. I message my daughter all the time, which is kind of fun. And, you know, your phone calls. And I don't make a lot of phone calls, but I have a lot of long-distance calls I make because I have friends who live around the country.
Yeah.
So I'm paying exactly pretty much what I paid before, and I've got all this other fun happening here with this iPhone. So it's cool for me.
Wow. That's turned into like
See, I didn't have a cell phone with another carrier or any of that. I didn't have to go through all the rigmarole getting out of my contract and then signing up here. So I guess for some people it might be a bit more expensive.
Possibly.
You know, but for me, you know, just the regular deal for signing up for the service.
I don't know, this turned into a this went from being talking about your show to being a really convincing commercial for the iPhone.
I'm gonna
look into getting one tomorrow.
Hi, I'm M. Jung. Get an iPhone. They rock.
That's right.
And what's cool is you can download your Idiot Show podcast directly to your phone.
Exactly.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
And you can rock out with Dung wherever you go.
That's right, kids. Go to idiotshow.net on your iPhone and download all. And number one, you can see the picture that he took of himself with his iPhone atop the little new homepage, and then download all the shows. And like you said, you've got more shows now than I can count on one hand. So that's
there's about 3 months worth, and I just posted the new one.
All right.
I'm in the middle of doing that. So that by in a couple of hours, everything's going to be current.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Yeah. By the time this posts, it'll be up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be a whole new one. I don't know. You just never know. You got any questions over there, Justin?
No, I'm good. I'm just enjoying this.
Yeah. Just listening along.
I'm sorry if I'm not much of an exciting interview guy.
No, not at all.
Quite to the contrary.
Actually, if you've heard our show much, the one that does the most talking is Derek. Yep. He asks most of the questions.
I drive the bus, and then they're here for comic relief.
I lead a pretty uneventful life. I mean, the thing I'm doing now is probably, you know, the biggest deal that I'm actually involved in outside of work.
Yeah. Well, now...
But, you know, it's nice to get the publicity. I certainly appreciate the interest, and it's encouraging for me to keep on doing it. Yeah. So, you know, until I get sick of it, then I'll just keep pumping them out every
week. Rock and roll.
Well, now I actually do have a question that I had forgotten about. I have a friend who does a weekly podcast, and he actually got sponsorship from a game company to do a weekly songs, and it came up, how do you travel so much? And he's like, well, I do this. They pay me to do this. Would you ever, and I remember you saying that you would never work for the man again, but if somebody wanted to sponsor you or something, would you be akin to that, or?
Well, I'd have to look first at who benefits the most from this arrangement. I mean, a sponsorship is different than, I don't know. I mean, do they pay you to do that? Do they give you money to be your sponsor?
Yeah. Well, for him, they do, and for some people, they actually run their blog, some of their web pages from advertisements that appear on the side, and they make pretty decent money, I don't know about that.
I have a job, you know, I make pretty good
dough. You're okay.
I don't really want to deal with those kind of guys anymore. I mean, really.
You just want to have fun.
Yeah. I that's why I left radio. I just couldn't handle their thing anymore, so it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and this is...
Who knows? Maybe. But at this point, I don't see it happening. I mean, I got 10 people listening to my show. I mean, sponsoring for what, you know? Yeah, I command a huge audience of like 15 people. Want to sponsor me? Hey, if it gets bigger, maybe next year. I mean, I don't know. I kind of am getting now this kind of feeling like maybe I should promote it a little bit more. So who knows where it's going to lead, you know? I mean, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to make it there. It's out there. People can check it out. Maybe in a couple of years, it'll grow in size to where it would make sense to try to take it to the next level.
Well, and you're playing good music, too, and, you know, who knows, maybe even your daughter's friends would start to, you know, oh, hey, by the way, I'm on my dad's new podcast, and you play something that they like, and they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and
that's
so on
works,
and so
you know?
On.
I mean, it takes time, but word of mouth is probably the best publicity you can ever get. People will just, it'll, who knows? I mean, it could grow, maybe it won't. Whatever, you know, I'm doing this to have fun, you know, so I'm having fun. And if people want to have fun when they listen in, that's cool, you know. But it's not like I'm crushed if there's like five people, you know, that only listen. It's just like, well, okay, just doing no show.
Well, that's the right attitude. That's our inside joke here, is that we speak directly to listener, not listeners, but listener. And
that's the best way to think of it. You know, the radio 101 is you got to establish some kind of rapport with the audience. And I always thought to make me do that was like I'd pick a point somewhere in the back of the room and focus on it, and I'd talk to it like it was a person.
Yeah.
And that's how I got like a quality in my voice that I was actually talking to people as opposed to reading cards or talking at them.
Yeah.
It just makes it so impersonal, and it's like throwaway. It doesn't matter what they say because they're not talking to you anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and it sounds stale when people read from cards. I mean, you can always tell when they're reading from, you know, when radio. I'm like you. I can't listen to regular radio. I have to listen to the college stations down here because it's that. And even there's one radio, internet radio station, and I can't listen to anything else.
I can certainly understand what you're saying, you know, and I agree with you. You know, that's where it's happening. That's where people are trying out new stuff. They're not, haven't been beaten into their mold yet if they try to go into commercial radio. Hey, but it's a job, and it's an exciting job. You know, it's a lot of fun. I'm probably not the best person to talk about this subject since I'm so jaded. I don't want to discourage anybody from going into the business. And I think it's going to turn around, you know, I mean, going through a really kind of bleak phase at this point. We're so commercialized and corporate and all the bad stuff. But who knows, you know, with the advent of satellite radio offering some competition and maybe some other unforeseen medium that will emerge, I mean, it's going to evolve, and maybe it'll get back to where it's actually something that is compelling to listen to again.
Yeah.
I have my fingers crossed, you know.
Yeah, I keep hoping. I really do. But
I've got to eat. I got to go.
I know. I apologize for keeping you from your spaghetti. I want to thank you very much for joining us once again, and we wish you continued success.
I'd be happy to come back and add some stuff if you feel that this interview isn't very good.
No. It was top-notch. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate you joining us.
Okay.
Take care, Don.
Guys, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We're keeping him from his spaghetti.
Always a nice guy to talk to.
No, you know, he's a great guy. And, you know, that's the thing. When I first contacted him last year for the first interview, his response was, "How did you find me?"
Yeah.
And that's been his attitude the whole time. He has completely forgotten that he had legions of devoted fans from his time spent on the radio. And that's the funny thing about radio. It's a little thing called the lunatic fringe. The lunatic fringe is who contacts you. The lunatic fringe is who's devoted to you. The lunatic fringe is who makes the noise.
They are your fans.
That's right. And the lunatic fringe is bigger than people think. I make no bones about it. I'm part of that lunatic fringe,
even though
I was also part of radio. I'm also part of that lunatic fringe. I see both sides. I know exactly what they're both going through.
You are all things to all people.
I am. I am all seeing, all knowing. And you know what, Colin? You know what the most satisfying thing about that interview was?
What?
That he said it was all because of us. I mean, I've said that before in a joking manner, but when he said that, I fought the urge to go, "See, Colin! See!" I'm Derek Knight from SonOfCheese.com. With us, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Good night.
Justin Carmichael, the Jew Wario, joined us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And we'd like to thank M. Dung for spending time away from his spaghetti to join us once again on our big podcast. We will see you kids, or kid, listener, back again next Wednesday.